just bow your heads with me. Father, we come before you this morning and we're asking for grace. That we would be obedient to your call and careful to walk out what it is that you've given us to walk out. I ask this in Jesus' name. And the first thing that came to my mind this morning as I was visiting with Mom in the hospital is God's plan for our lives and how they don't make sense. I shared with the family of God this morning earlier that Mom had a very difficult morning yesterday. And, she related this on the phone to me, but when I got there last night, we talked about it. And sometimes when someone else goes through something, it recalls to you what you went through, but you can't always speak it out. If you speak it out, you might not only disobey God, but go into an area where they will pick the information, but they'll run with it with the wrong spirit. As Mom was telling me what happened to her body when they got her out of bed and tried to bring her to the bathroom, she was unable to really function correctly because of the energy levels that were in her body, but also her disability to breathe. And she said when she came out of the bathroom, the one that was trying to help her, but really didn't succeed, could not discern the help she needed. And Mom finally said, I'm not going to be able to sit in this bed, because she felt herself ready to pass out. And she asked to be put into the chair. There's an armchair in the room next to her bed. And she began to explain to me what happened. As she's explaining what happened to her, I'm going back to the time when I was 11 years old. Mom's got pneumonia. She's got a urinary tract infection. She's got a lack of blood. They gave her 2 pints of blood. She's got heart issues, kidney issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was 11. The doctors had been puzzled because I wasn't making any sense. I was sick. I started getting sick in the beginning of October. Couldn't go back to school till the following year in September. A lot of things happened in all those months. And when you're a kid, you don't understand. But one of the things that I had instant recall was one night, I believe it was in January or February, I can't tell you when, but I know there was a lot of snow on the ground. And one doctor after another could not diagnose what the problem was with my body. And Mom and Dad were very concerned about my ability to continue to walk through this terrible storm in my life, because it was a storm. When you're a kid and you see everybody else playing and doing other things, my disability was I could barely function. And couldn't eat, totally constantly full, And by April, they diagnosed what was wrong with me. I had virus pneumonia, and at that time, it was an unknown problem because my body was full of foam. And one particular night, I know I saw blackness to a degree that I had never seen blackness before. And the pain in my chest was so intense that I just gave up. And I remember literally coming out of my body, looking at my mother and my dad in the bed next to me, not knowing or understanding what was happening to me. Because if you would have told me what was going on, I probably would have had zero understanding. But I distinctly saw both my parents and the freedom of pain was the highest awareness that I had. I was able to breathe. Of course, I didn't realize that your spirit doesn't breathe. But there was no more pain. And I wanted it to just enjoy the moment. If you've ever been under severe pressure and pain, and all of a sudden it's all removed, you want to live in that moment of ecstasy, not understanding what it is. And as Mom is telling me her experience, I'm flashing back to what I felt like, and I wanted to say to her, I understand, and the Holy Spirit was really saying, don't. I believe the Holy Spirit was trying to make me aware that she needed to communicate, and I needed to intercede. I know what I went through. If God hadn't sent me back into my body and the pain began again, and I can remember weeping, and that's all I have memory of. This particular subject would have not been something that I would have ever spoken to anyone about until one day at Grace Church where Pastor Gino shared his out-of-the-body experience. And he reminded me that many of us have experiences that we don't share for fear that we're dumb or stupid or no one else has ever experienced what you've experienced. No one else could comprehend where you're from. What you've been through. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ, because I can truthfully say that the way the body of Christ functions is always somebody that has a little hint of where you're at. Maybe not the fullness of your test, or maybe not the fullness of your heart, or maybe not the fullness of your pain. But they have a hint because they've had a little test. How many can relate to what I'm talking about? And as the work of God continues in you, the sweetest part of all this is that there begins to be a trust that's formed from one member to the other. This morning when Peggy said, I have a word for several people. You realize you were also that thread, intermingling all of these individuals with a word to say, don't let go. Don't let go. God's in control. And I can remember that during those months of sickness, and when you're a kid, a month seems like an eternity. When you're 70, a month is a couple of snaps of your finger. When you're a baby, a month seems like two eternities. The older we get, time is definitely changing in your perspective. So my quest to you is, there are times when the Holy Spirit is going to tell you, don't open up. But I want to intercede for you. I want to pray for you. I want to be the one to be there for you if you're hurting and if you're having a hard time. I want to be the one to help God hold you up. I remember one time there was a testimony about this particular lady said, I'm so tired of the body of Christ crying out and saying, oh yeah, Jesus has got all the answer, but I want Jesus with skin on him, with flesh. If you've got a neighbor, take their hand right now. I want you to know that that hand is the hand of the Lord in the body of Christ. That hand is the one that may be the chosen vessel to intercede for you when you're hurting. And nobody can touch you that you suppose. But in reality, there's always one prepared by God to intercede for you. Do you agree? Even when they're mischievous, right? You mean there's mischief in the body of Christ? Absolutely there's mischief. Okay? There are teasing moments. There are joyful moments. There are weepy moments. There's going to be all kinds of emotions in the body of believers. There's bound to be. And will you always understand? No, you won't. There are times the Holy Spirit will say, be quiet. Don't even tell them you're aware. Do you understand where I'm coming from? And you know that God has chosen you to intercede for them. Sometimes there's Holy Ghost accidents. I call them accidents because you could have never predicted how God's going to coordinate two people. And after it happens, you say, oh my God, look what he was doing. And then the Holy Spirit begins to churn within you and say to you, now do you understand why I connected you to that individual? It could be years before you reconnect. But God knows the heart of the saints. God knows how to interweave every single one of us into his plan and tapestry. Do we really comprehend it? No, we don't. And you know, God gave me a word, and I don't even know if it's for today or tonight, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's Hosea 4:9. It's the only word that I got this morning. And it came out of the blue when I first walked into my office, because my house was in darkness this morning. We had no electricity. And I said, okay, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. So I walked around the house putting shades up so we could see and finish up getting dressed, et cetera, and using a flashlight to find a pair of socks. Am I complaining? No. I'm just letting you know adjustments are needed sometimes. You don't understand. But Hosea 4:9 says that, you know, the priesthood is failing. That's what it says. The priesthood is failing the people. Now, is this an accusing word? Absolutely not. It says, and it will be like people like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. That's a heavy word. And of course, it talks about the negative forces that are operating in the priesthood and in the people. And I believe it's a word to prepare us for the Day of Atonement. Because you see, the Day of Atonement was set aside by God to do a work in the body of Christ. Leviticus 23, verses 26 and 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also the tenth day of this seventh month shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Yom Kippur, literally day of covering, falls on the tenth day of the month of Tishri and brings to close the period of repentance begun in Rosh Hashanah, which was a week ago on Friday. On this national day of atonement, the high priest of the temple uses a compelling and colorful ritual to show God's willingness to forgive the sins of the previous year. 7 days before Yom Kippur, every effort was taken to ensure that the high priest was kept in a state of ritual purity. On this day of days, he would undergo 5 immersions and have an entourage of about 500 Levites with him everywhere he went to help guard him from anything that might render him unclean. On every other day of the year, the high priest dressed in his formal uniform, which included golden crown, colorful robes, a breastplate of jewels, and inscribed with the names of the tribes of Israel. And on the Day of Atonement, however, he set aside his normal splendor and wore only a white linen robe, which was symbolic of purity. Because the Day of Atonement was a day of sacrifice, the high priest's white linen robe was soon spattered with blood. To atone for our sins, and his own sins, I'm sorry, he sacrificed a bull before the Lord. Then to atone for the sins of the nation, the high priest took 2 kid goats and cast lots to determine their fate. Depending on how the lots fell, one of the goats was sacrificed as a sin offering for the nations. When this sacrificial goat was appointed, the high priest pronounced for Jehovah, and the throngs of worshipers would fall on their faces and call out, "Blessed be the name, the glory of his kingdom is forever and ever." Then the goat was slain. I don't want to give you any more. I just want you to see. There's a purpose in all the things that happen to you. There's a reason. There's a reason for the high, exciting days. But there's also a reason and a high moment of humility that needs to come upon us by God's grace. And as we fall upon our faces before God, and we say, "Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on the body of Christ. Lord, have mercy on the priesthood." Every single one of you is called to be a priest, a king. I had a word for one girl this morning, and is the book of Esther. Esther was a wonderful young lady, but she was broken. And in her story, you see her struggling with the reality of her life. Yet God had a purpose that was so awesome that he would save a whole country and a people that had been kicked out of their country. You don't know who you are. You may not comprehend what you're up to. You may not fully understand what God wants from you. But in my time with one of the saints this past week, this is the word that I heard coming out of their mouth. "I know God has a plan, but it's so impossible for me to believe that he can use me." And I smiled and said, "Maybe there's a lot of unbelief in you yet, but God knows how to deal with it." Close your eyes, please. Father God, my heart goes out to these that question their own purpose. My heart says to each and every one of you,
Don't underestimate God. Don't ever think that Jesus and his heart to go forward, in spite of the callings on his life to die to self, even before he took the cross. So don't underestimate who you are in the body of Christ. But be aware that others are interceding for you along the way, that you're not alone. Be aware that you never will be alone. Because once you enter the kingdom of God, once you submit to Him, once you let Him come in and begin a healing, He will restore everything that the enemy ever tried to steal it. Anything he ever tried to crush, all of it will be restored for the glory of our God. And all of his people said,